Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Thursday, April 27th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephson County Board of Commissioners convening for our administrative workshop. We have a fairly short agenda here today. Commissioner DeYoung and Commissioner Hare are here, and Public Works, Commissioner Morgan, is presumably on her way. So let's go ahead and get started with item number 1A, which is Public Works Report and Recommendation for County Engineering regarding vacation proceedings for a portion of Dog Creek Road public right-of-way.
Good morning, Commissioners. First, I'd like to just mention that in the subject line, we say about 4,040 feet, and down in my report, actually, I forgot to correct a length, and it says 240, but the correct length is 4,000. So,
go ahead and go through kind of what this is.
Yeah. What this is that we have a property owner that owns a segment of a non-maintained road that he would like to be able to keep vandals from accessing into his property and dropping garbage and whatnot there. So he's asking to have it vacated. It will create two dead ends because there is access on both sides. Normally on this report and recommendation would also have the board order for actually the vacation. We're actually going to have that we actually have a later hearing for the actual vacation. There's some construction that I'm recommending that they do. Since there's two dead ends, I'm recommending that they provide turnarounds so somebody drives a dump truck down there or a garbage truck or something, they have some way to turn around.
Yeah,
and get
they're
back
just
out.
They're not just stuck there.
So I'm recommending that we move forward with this recommendation. They do the construction. Once we've accepted that, then we'll come back and say they've completed all the items in the report recommendation related to the official vacation.
I don't think we've ever done one of these since I've been here, to vacate a thoroughfare, because it's a through street.
Kind of.
Even if it's county non-maintained, I guess the hearing process will afford the neighbors the opportunity to say, well, actually, I use that to go to my neighbor's place, and if I don't have that, I'm going to have to go around a couple of miles or a mile around or whatever.
Yeah, the applicant has indicated that there is very little, if any, through access for his neighbors.
Okay.
They're not doing that way, going that way. But, again, that's the applicant indicating that.
The applicant is aware that they're going to have to make a turnaround or cul-de-sac at the end of.
Yes, he's been aware of some sort of turnaround. I did send him through his attorney this report and recommendation earlier this week. So they just said thank you, and I never.
Is there easement or right of way and that the county has that he can construct that turnaround? Or, I mean, sometimes if the thoroughfare is 20 feet and our right of way is 40 feet, is he going to have enough?
Well, it was dedicated in 1991.
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah, 91. And I'm trying to remember what it was dedicated at. I think it was dedicated at 50 feet, I think.
Now, does he own all the property on both sides of the area to be vacated?
Yes. From end of road to end of road, or the portion we're vacating, he owns both sides.
He owns both sides. So theoretically, if he were to need to put that turnaround on his property, he could do that.
Yes, he could.
So there wouldn't be any.
Wouldn't be a problem.
So there's no property limit.
There wouldn't be any. We wouldn't have to buy property or buy right away for a turnaround. He could do that on his property, and I think that would take care of that. Is there any drainage or runoff issues along those bar? Is there a bar ditch on that road?
There's a creek right there, Dog Creek.
Okay. So Dog Creek is.
Is he planning on gating either side?
Yes, I believe he is. Yes. He originally came in to. There is a board order that would allow him to go through a process to gate it off, but he didn't like the fact that it was still a public way and that people walking could still walk through there because it still is a public right of way. Mm-hmm. So then he switched to a vacation process.
What is the zoning of the property on either side? Is planning checked into whether or not? I mean, if he wanted to sell one of those other properties, and then I guess that would be a private access.
Yeah.
Because you can't you can't restrict some a property from having access.
Right.
You don't let that happen.
So. And he's acknowledged through those agreements that he will landlock some of his parcels. And he's knowingly doing that.
Hmm.
And he's okay with that?
Yeah, he's signed one for each parcel, yeah.
Now, can he come back at a later date and have a lot line?
Oh, yeah.
Adjust and take it all up and make it all one big parcel if you want?
Could, yes. And he could grant an easement for the other parcels mm-hmm. and
yeah.
everything else. It's just, we wanted to make certain that he was under the impression that vacating this doesn't mean he has unlimited land use.
This is a separate subject, but it kind of is along the lines of this. I think the board has discussed just briefly, the previous boards have discussed that we need to work it. I don't want him coming back in a couple of years and saying, well, actually, I want the county to take this road back over. I'll bring it up to county standards or whatever, and that it be included in our portfolio as a county maintained road. If in the future somebody else buys this, and, you know, why is we're looking at that bridge? Why is it like this? Well, it needs to be very clear. And I think I'd like the Public Works to work on an order, and it could be along the lines of what we get for that report on the performance review, that we're not accepting any more roads into our portfolio. And I'd like that something done if the board endorses that idea.
And once this is vacated, it stays
vacated. It stays vacated is the concept, but that we're not also accepting any additional roads. I know we've got that in our standard right now. You bring them up to county standards, we'll accept them. Douglas County has gone so far as to say their portfolio that they have, maintained roads right now, is the portfolio they're always going to have. Even bringing it up to county standards, we're not going to accept it anymore. And just going through that thought process, what does that look like with the finite amount of road dollars that we have, we need to probably look at that as well. So that's a different subject. I don't have any objection. I can't think of any reason why this isn't something we could move forward with and start that hearing. And if something happens, you know, it's not a done deal right now. It's actually probably far from it. So
we're not deciding. We're just saying to the hearing.
Yeah.
And all the neighbors that own property above.
They'll all get notified, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the hearing will be sometime in the future once he completes whatever the
application process
and listed in there.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I think we can move this forward. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously not going to next week, but whenever.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come back when you're ready.
It's not moving forward. It's just.
Recommendations.
Well, we'll have to have a hearing and stuff.
On the report?
Yeah. I don't know.
Typically, we don't have a report. It would be.
No.
Yeah. We will have a hearing in the future on the vacation.
I don't think we need to move this forward. There's nothing to approve. We're just giving you the nod to go forward and schedule the hearing and stuff. So
that means you're convenient when you're ready to pull the trigger on this, I guess, is when we have the hearing.
Yeah, as soon as he completes the work.
He completes all the work and you're satisfied.
Yep.
I think that would be a part of like a finding.
Usually we just have two hearings.
Like
the first one,
you still say,
go ahead.
We have that as an addition to approving the vacation.
With the construction.
So this is saying that their request is acceptance of the report and recommendation.
I don't think that there's any problem with that and saying that go ahead and schedule a hearing. And, you know, it's like a land use element. And Terry was asking about the turnarounds, and those would be like conditions of approving the vacationing of the thoroughfare.
Part of the agreement.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't want to approve anything at this point. I haven't heard, you know, the whole scope and from the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're just saying go ahead and schedule a hearing at some point when he gets everything.
Can we do that with the condition that those turnarounds are part of the scope?
Yeah,
we need to require those turnarounds.
Yeah,
right?
we were a little concerned when I was talking with legal about the timing on all this, because once we have the hearing and you guys approve it, the vacation happens.
Yeah.
And then once it happens, how do you then make somebody build a turnaround?
No, it needs to be a condition going into the.
So
it's not vacationed until the turnarounds are done.
Okay.
I mean, it's no different than a land use thing. When we say you're going to be able to do this,
mm-hmm.
we don't vacate the element until the conditions are met, or you don't get the vacation.
So we were planning on having the hearing after the turnarounds are built.
No.
I mean, that's how it's written in here.
No, because if the board finds that we're not going to do that, the guy's out all that money and he just put in turnarounds, and I would feel like we would need to compensate him. So I can't make him do anything until we approve this vacationing.
Okay.
We wouldn't make anybody do anything in planning for a site development or anything until we've actually approved that site.
And he probably wouldn't build the turnarounds until he's has the vacation.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
He has that.
Okay. I'd say, sure, I'll do this if you do that. But he needs approval by the board. I can see some neighbor coming up and giving, hey, I've got, I don't know, a utility that goes through there. Or I've been using that, you know, as a public thoroughfare for more than 10 years. I have a right to continue to use that. Whether you vacate it or not, you can't do eminent domain on a public thoroughfare. But you might exercise that element in a court, having been using it for more than 10 years. Once it's designated as private, it doesn't change the fact that he's been using it for 10 years. I want all that stuff worked out. I wouldn't want this guy to go investing a bunch of time and energy and money before we've got it all tied up.
So, just so I'm clear on my direction to them, I will make certain that they're in agreement with what's on here.
Yep.
And then we will schedule the hearing and set up the notice.
Yeah.
And,
right. Putting those in after the board approves it is a condition of final vacation of that road.
Okay.
If he chooses, you know, the vacation's sitting out there, mm-hmm. but until he does those things, it's not actually official.
Okay.
And so he does those, and it's automatic that once those are in, you guys sign off and say they're good to go. The vacation's done. You know, whatever, you can put up gates. But that's kind of like a land use deal. You don't get it until you've actually met the criteria. So I kind of think that'll work.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to clear. So that we're all.
Yeah, I'd hate for him to do all that and then we find out something.
All right.
Okay. Thanks
a
lot.
Thank you.
Item number 1B is public health. We've got an intergovernmental agreement, number 53116, between Lane County and Josephine County for public health participation in the health space suite of environmental health programming.
Council.
Yeah. Another one of those. I might let you read the next one.
All it means is there's a new database.
Okay.
So it was a new database that was rolled out in February called Health Space. Our prior database that we used for environmental health licensing was Phoenix. The database has already been rolled out. It's active. John McCafferty has signed off on this part of the contract as well, too. So that's what this one is about. It's just a new database that we're using for environmental health licensing for restaurants, mobile units, hotels.
So Lane County created it. Is that why we're in agreement with them?
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, item number 2 is amendment. And we need to move that forward, or is that something that Diane has already done, or is that...
She signed off on it, but I do need the board signature on it as well, too.
Okay. Well, we'll move that forward. It's not really a change in policy, and I don't think there's a fiscal impact. Are we having to pay for that?
No, not for the database.
Okay, great. So I see that as a consent calendar item, unless there's an objection.
I'm okay with that.
Item number B2 is amendment number 4 to Intergovernmental Agreement 19702 between Lane County and Josephine County for public health participation in Health Space Suite of Environmental Health Program. How's that one different? That's just a different agreement.
It's a different agreement. They're kind of tied in together. It's still through Lane County. This one is for issuing the food handlers cards.
Oh, okay.
We're just required to provide on-site testing for the food handlers, and we also have an agreement with Lane County for the online test that customers can take, and Josephine County residents that take it online through the Lane County website, we get a kickback on that. So it's estimated about $30,000 of income.
Okay. That's what it says.
And this one's been ongoing since about 2009.
Okay. Sounds like another consent calendar item. Are you familiar enough with these that you could speak to them on Wednesday?
I feel comfortable speaking on it, but I don't.
Yeah.
Familiar with? No, but it's.
Well, by Wednesday, if
yes,
there's
any, fine.
Anything you can think
especially
of.
Especially if you write something up that she can read.
No, I can just write something.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just updating agreement with the software updates.
It's pretty simple.
With, yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Quick and easy. Information technology, and Mr. McCafferty is going to provide item number two, which is a quarterly department update. Always lots going on in IT.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning, John.
Keep it fairly short, just an update on what we talked about in January. There's a new key box going in at the jail. We saw a demonstration yesterday. It's a software activated fingerprint identification that allows you to take keys for different jail cells. So we're working on that with the Sheriff's Office and BOM. We're still waiting on a bid to get fiber from search and rescue out to animal control and airport. We pay about $600 between the three entities a month for internet access.
And say that again.
We pay about $600 a month for search and rescue, animal control, and the airports to get internet access and network connectivity. Hunter is wanting to run commercial fiber out to the airport for commercial users like the aviation companies, and we've discussed it with Hunter that we'd be willing to trade our monthly charges that we're paying for the capital costs to actually get us fiber to our ends, which would eliminate the need for VPNs and Cisco appliances that would be on our network.
With that, that's $600 a month, so is that for perpetuity or until it's paid off?
Well, we pay the $600 a month we pay now is to Charter. It's like a regular business that pays
right.
internet access. And so that would go away if we had fiber connectivity.
Right.
So that's in perpetuity for that we pay now as just a regular vendor.
Okay, so we wouldn't be ever, we're not going to pay for the infrastructure, we're paying for use of it.
In the Hunter deal, not Charter now, but dealing with Hunter,
right.
we would contribute fixed costs, capital costs,
okay.
to have dedicated fiber, our fiber.
Okay.
They would be putting 24 lines of fiber up on a pole. They would use 12 of them to sell to aviation companies,
really?
Make money on that. We, in turn, would get dedicated fiber to our offices.
Your facility.
Yeah. And so it would be just like they were in the courthouse. They'd be on our network as opposed to going through Charter's network.
Is there a consideration for right-of-way access and such? Or
yeah, so they're working on that.
Okay.
Because Hunter wants to make money off of these customers, they can't use the poles on Monument. They may have to dig up underneath the runway, which brings in the FAA and a whole bunch of others.
That's
stuff.
Not going to...
Well, so that's they're looking at those alternatives to go up Flaming Road.
Yeah.
They're working with Larry at the airport.
Okay.
So Larry's in on it. So at some point in the next 6 months, we'll be bringing a proposal, and it'll be something like... You know, if it's $20,000, that makes a ton of sense. The payback is short.
Yeah.
At $600 a month, if we can get rid of it. So those are the kind of things I'll bring to you.
I've been, just while we're on this subject, looking at the opportunities, talking with Julie Schmelzer, Arthur, and I need to talk to Ryan and Jenny about the idea of moving search and rescue, all of that SAR emergency preparedness stuff to the airport portfolio.
Oh.
Building a potentially new facility there and housing it in kind of conjunction, I would think, with the National Guard.
Actually,
and
like that.
All of those kinds of resources. And it also vacates prime industrial land to for employment opportunities. We don't fully utilize that space anyway. All emergency act anyway. That's just, it's
right.
a long-term plan. So I don't know how much, I mean, if there's a benefit to tying in to what's happening in the industrial park in a broader sense for Hunter?
That's why Hunter's doing this.
Okay.
Because of the expansion of
yeah. Because that, I want to think a little long term that we may not be there in that space.
But that would still be the D-mark.
Still, okay.
We'd still have it available to that building.
Good.
We could make that building more attractive
yeah.
than SAR is now.
Yeah, the nice thing is there's a facility there. I mean,
yeah.
if an employer wanted
like
to come in there, there's a warehouse.
Possibility of moving SAR over to the airport, because I think they're about two clicks away from having their own helicopter and you know, working with Civil Air Patrol and
yeah.
having their own airplane.
Anyway.
So you've got some synergy there.
Great.
And one of the things that the VoIP system did for the airport was eliminate, we now have a VoIP system out at the airport, and so that was eliminating a $200 phone bill that they had a month.
Great.
So that's how we're leveraging that kind of connectivity.
Investment, yeah.
The tax data on the postcards, I don't know how the board has received it. We've heard some pretty good things. I will let you know that it took a couple days of Chancey's time, but it probably took 2 weeks of Connie's time. She worked very hard on that.
Yeah.
So just to let the board aware, there was quite a bit of work on that.
John, I really appreciate that. We ask for these things sometimes, and we have no concept of how challenging they can be. I know we do that for Arthur. We do that for Ryan. We do that for you. And I really appreciate that, and I'll make a special note to go down. And I did thank her already, but I will do that already.
We had our CJIS audit 2 weeks ago. It was a lot less onerous than I thought it was going to be.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
Can you explain what CJIS is?
Okay, so it's Criminal Justice Information System.
Correct.
The FBI requires certain security measures,
right,
both in the office, on the officer's person, and on the network, the technology that they use. And some of the things that they require are encrypted hard drives, so that if someone stole a laptop, they could not pull the hard drive off of it and use that data. They require that someone couldn't steal your password and use it, so they require two-factor authentication, which is a card, a fingerprint, a text message. So those kind of things we've been implementing over the last few weeks. We have not gotten the report back yet. There were some things that the sheriff's office has to work on. They're the final oversight for their portion for the sheriff. I believe corrections is this week.
Okay.
And the DA.
They had a LEDS audit yesterday, but
okay,
they don't know. But they haven't done a CJIS audit.
Okay. So that's the audit I was referring to. Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's a lighter overhead one. So anyway, the encryption and the two-factor authentication went extremely well. We'll be rolling out two-factor for corrections and the DA within the next month or so. CJ, the public health has started to go back out to CJ to do work outside of the WIC program. They required data connections to the network and to the internet. We worked with Cameron. He was going to give us a regular kind of charter solution. It was too expensive to do it. So one of the things, we just bought a Cradle Point router, got a data card from Verizon, $40 a month. We set it up there. They're all set up on Wi-Fi. They can all get to the network. It's a really lightweight solution for having mobile use. So it worked out really well. Our website is pretty old. It's pretty outdated. In the next year or two, I'd like to come to the board. There's probably very similar cost solutions that have some more modern features. Project Data is just the company. It is not putting a lot of money into this website. It's called Project in a Box, and it probably has a limited shelf life. We did contract with a company to put a robot on the website. We had thousands of broken links. We had hundreds of misspellings. We had an intern from RCC who just left us a few weeks ago, and his primary job for the 10 weeks he was with us was to fix those broken links with the software. So we fixed over 1,000 broken links, hundreds of misspellings, and so now it's pretty clean.
Wow.
So the software was good for 1 year. I'm not sure I would keep going for it at $5,000 a year.
I'm not impressed with it. I would love to make our website more user-friendly and not so difficult to search and find and have to download. If I have to download a document to find anything, I'm not going to go there. And because I'm on my phone, I don't want to fill my phone with useless data.
That's the biggest thing, is that our website is not mobile friendly.
And that's where so many people are moving towards. And even us, we're going to be out on the road, and I'm sitting in a hearing in Salem, and a question comes up, I want to look it up. I can't get it on my website, on my phone, very easily. And so I know that we cut because it was simple for people to just put their data in. But I think that we're doing a disservice with
We can do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a couple really good presentations at the last conference that I went to, and very similar cost structure. The technologies must just moved quite a bit forward mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
GIS is working on getting ready for the fire season. They've organized Bob really gets out in front of this stuff. He might have been one of the finest acquisitions we've had as an employee. He gets the fire departments together for the upcoming fire season. He gets other agencies together and leads the groups just sharing data and getting on the same page. He's had long experience with fires, with Cal Fire, and it's just a really good resource this time of year.
That's really excellent. I mean, in years past, Jenny has organized a full county, all those managers early in the season, right about now, for an opportunity to just kind of touch base. We have new managers like Peggy at the fairgrounds or something like that, and there's new ODF. Everybody senior there is relatively new, whereas the previous guys were there for 30 years, and just kind of they knew what was going on. They knew who the fairgrounds met, and now I think there's a real need for that to happen broader than just the IT, but I think the IT is a real focal point, so that's excellent.
So what Bob does is he knows who does it at BLM,
yeah.
And he knows who does it at Cal Fire, and they all come together. Even the California people come up.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this fire season, what I'm hearing is it's going to be not so pleasant in other places. Obviously, Florida's already on fire and others, but I think this year we're hopefully going to be okay. We may never have a fire. It may never dry out.
Maybe you can fill me in, Commissioner Morgan, on the crime mapping initiative. I heard something about LipSync investing in a crime mapping, because that was something GIS was working on locally. Do you know anything about it?
It's going to be a different definition.
Okay.
So what you guys are doing is not exactly what
it's not the same. Okay.
They were actually mapping what happens with a body in the criminal justice system in Josephine County from the time the police contact them through them being on supervision. And what physically happens with the person going through the criminal justice is what they were mapping.
Okay, so not geographic locations of crimes. Okay.
No, it was physically where, how somebody goes through the process, and they're going to be giving us a report on how we work as a criminal justice system, make some recommendations. We're pretty siloed in our criminal justice system, even though we work well together. We don't, as a whole, come up with common goals and look at how that could maybe save money on the table, can we be more efficient, that kind of thing. So that's what the mapping affords us, the opportunity to see if we can get the most out of our money. But it's not a map.
So we are moving forward with a crime mapping, and that's good for me.
I'm curious. I'm really interested in your geographical portion of the crime.
Right. So the city has
that would help, especially with limited resources and control of the sheriff's department. That would really, really help with what they call hotspot, you know, crime prevention. The city does that. You know, they have, instead of a cop cruising all over places where there isn't any crime, they start putting a concentration of cops in Southwest Bridge Street, where I used to live. And they go, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on down there. So they move like three or four officers there during a shift instead of just one. And what's entailed with the geographic side of it?
So what we need is data, and that's sometimes the hardest issue to get.
Okay.
But
and you take that from OSP, the sheriff, and city police?
I'm not sure that we could get it from state police, but certainly the city's doing it right now.
Right, right.
So they have their own. So the county, we would need the data, and the sheriff supports us moving in this direction. And then once we have that, we can just... It's amazing what GIS is doing now, just attaching data to the planet. So
it's a two-edged sword, because you get somebody wanting to move here, and they say, well, this Tacoma, that's kind of a neat name. And so they go out and buy a Tacoma and realize what they've done. You know, what it could be used for two things, to either bump up value or depreciate. So it'd be kind of a sticky situation. So
the data part will be us. We'll leave the how it's used to you guys.
Okay.
It sounds interesting while we're on this subject, but I'm not so sure that it would reveal anything that isn't known anecdotally, if that's the correct pronunciation, Commissioner Heck. he'll always correct me on that. But you know, I think Dave knows where the hot spots are, and Josephine kind of got hints to, you know, the Halloween one, the Boo, Cupid one. He kind of knows where to go.
Or maybe an assessor appraiser doesn't.
No,
so
that's
so they can
really true.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of nice to know.
Do we as a board have access to GIS?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How do we get that?
GIS page has about a dozen apps on it, and those are, you know, for planning, for assessor data, tax lot data, fire districts, school
districts.
What are
we allowed to have access to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a public-facing website. If you wanted the full-blown GIS on your workstation, we could do that. There's a licensing cost, and there's a pretty steep learning curve. But
I'm okay with a web link.
Yeah, just go on the web link.
Start
and
there.
Start using, yeah. And we can also build specific things.
Can you send us the link?
It's right on the Department Geographic Information Systems. Just click on that. From
oh,
our
it's
website.
On the website.
Yeah,
it's okay. On our website.
He's been really helpful for me. I've been asking for some layers and stuff, and when I ask for, you know, that map up there on the left or the right, those are things that are, I thought those were the most applicable things for us to take a look at, but there are, you know, there's 26 different layers maybe. I don't know. There's a whole host, not just the 14 that are out there. I've asked for some on election results of our non-binding question deals about where people are geographically feeling different things, specifically that one question on whether or not the level of public safety is meeting the community's needs and those kinds of things. And my projects come when I think about them, and he worked on it, and then he's got me a result, and then I need to get back with him and say, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. But he's really great with getting you what you need. If there's something that isn't already available, he can kind of tailor it.
So the last thing I wanted to touch on was the budget items that are in our budget this year. We're looking to not add a person to our department, but have a person that is a system administrator. We don't have one, and they would be solely responsible for the security in the county. Their primary job would be all the issues that are out there in the world right now that we don't have someone focused on. The cost is minimal. We cut our materials and services to balance the small increase in payroll. So it's a net zero change budget.
That's probably our greatest liability in the entire county. I wouldn't even think it exceeds potentially lawsuits.
Yeah.
That vulnerability there.
The other thing I would like the board, and it's not something we have to address today, but more and more departments are using community partners or their county partners to fill in positions that we don't have. So they may work in they may co-use the same building. Corrections has a couple options. People, jail has some people. CASA is next door to us. Public health uses all care people. And they're not typically part of our funding model, but more and more with security being an issue, we need to supply them a computer, we supply them a phone, we supply them the licensing to get on our network, and there's a cost to that, and my guess would be there's probably 30 to 40 people now that we fund in some way with equipment that are probably not paying into ISF. And so that model really helps departments, but it puts a burden on IT. And so when that comes as a proposal, I'd like the board to think about, well, what if the agency contributed just the fixed costs that are going to be incurred for them coming into our network?
Mm-hmm. Or if they're in partnership,
that particular department.
That department either take it on or...
It's a direct cost. It's not... like an ISF covered cost.
Right. Well, you know, the ongoing support might not be too bad, but to get them set up is $200 phone, it's $1,000 with the computer, monitors, and sometimes a printer.
But I'm saying that if they're partnered with a department, that department might want to beat the cost versus the, you know, to get the partnership. Or they might not. But
can we three discuss this? It's not dissimilar from facilities not having accounted space, and we either roll that into your cost of service, you know, adjust your ISF rate or something like that. There's probably a couple of different ways to.
And sometimes they are included.
Your suggestion on, you know, direct bill, maybe for a startup costs or something, might be the way to go.
Well, either or, if the department doesn't want to cover a direct bill to the people that are doing it.
I can see the department's arguing the fact that if it's part of their program, if they're bringing in a revenue stream is associated with that position indirectly, there is a bump in their budget.
And then that comes through. So sometimes it does.
I want to see that, you know, how often is it not captured in a fiscal way in their budget. So,
okay. So that's what I had.
All that. Great. Any questions? I had a couple. Planning is looking at doing a pretty significant scanning project, and you've reduced your materials and services budget. Are you accounting for the increase in server capacity or need for that, or maintenance of those files? It's a pretty substantial information increase.
So we did budget capital expense in our Schedule F for storage.
Okay.
And it's substantial, but we have some pretty old storage that we have to replace.
Okay.
So that was included in our budget.
Project A is something that we invested in about 3 years ago, I think. I might be wrong in my numbers because stuff gets jumbled together, but I don't think it was. It wasn't, in my opinion, a long-term solution to our website being not exactly what it should be. It's tough to sometimes justify, but it's like advertising for a restaurant that you invest a bunch more money in that when you really don't have the money to do your core functions. A website is a nice to have, like a Harold Haugen would say, but it's getting to be more and more a have to have. I guess it used to be a nice to have, now it's a have to have. And I think we need to prioritize what exactly we're providing for. It's not, as far as information is concerned, and making incremental adjustments maybe in what we have as far as available information that people want to see. So 90% of the people want to see maybe 5% of the content we have on our website, and how do we tailor that to make sure that that 10% is totally available to the 90% that want it. Making everything at the click of a button, everything available on a handheld, that's an expense that I don't know that I can justify. But if it's that 10% of what people are looking for, maybe we should lean into that element and get it accomplished and focus on it. I think Project A will give us the data that says these are your top 10 search for items or what have you, or that's what people predominantly go. So maybe if we concentrate our efforts in making that the most efficient. And occasionally those random things that people want to know as far as like how many road miles we have, how many people are actually searching for that, and that's available actually on Wikipedia. So, Commissioner Dion?
From the non-IT person, because I'm a real computer dummy, everywhere I go in this domain, it doesn't matter what I ask for. I mean, I asked for a voter sample yesterday down. It's on our website.
Yep.
Every answer is it's on our website. So we better really strive to make sure our website
is
maneuverable. And because you're going to get a guy like me, you know, and my answer to them was, is there one of those pamphlets right there that I can have? She goes, yeah. And I said, end of conversation. I don't have to go to a website. I can get it the old-fashioned way, and I'm going to send it to the guy that requested from me in Deschutes County the old-fashioned way. And so, I, you know, when somebody tells me to go to the website, I'm probably not going to do that. So I just think, well, I guess that information is not available to my generation. So I just drop it. That's it.
That was going to be my statement as well, is that our departments, their first answer to the public is that's on the website. And
there's a lot of people that really don't know how to use that.
Well, or you can't find it on the website. Where on the website do you find that? How many papers and documents do you search for to find that exact statement? Finance is an example. It's a maze of craziness to try to find which budget. But the budget document is not just that, okay, this is where I want to go, and you have to, no, you have to download that form. Oh, that wasn't the right one. Now I go back. I need to download that one. Oh, that wasn't the right one. And now I've downloaded 5 forms to find what I was looking for, to find it was on the assessor's website, not the finance website. And if we're going to, as a company, say, go to our website, then we need it easily accessible on our website, or we stop saying it's on the website as the first answer.
So Project A started, let's say, 8 years ago? Is that so? 7 years ago? It's longer than that. So it's been around a long time. And it's really what it is a document management system. Each department is responsible for their own content. And so one of the things that we've tried to say is, go take a look at your page. It's too cluttered. You've got too much stuff. Let's pick on finance. You can go back and get the 2005 budget document. How many people are looking at that? But at the same time, that planning app is on our website, and 80,000 clicks have happened on that planning app. If it goes down for an hour, a realtor will call us and say, hey, your planning app is not working. So people do use it. It's probably 5% of the county are using the website 100% of the, they're the users.
But isn't that what Chairman Harris alluded to, that you pick out, you find out, you identify which ones are used all the time and use those as a strength, and you fine-tune those to where they're easy to get to, very informative, and away you go. Because there's probably, as I said, 95% of the people are not even going to go there again. What kind of trees are in Indian Mary Park? Who cares?
But if Parks is, for instance, is a really good one. That's really involved. Sarah and Bob worked on that. If you want to see
the
White House Park, take a picture of the yurts, whatever. But the Project Day website is old. They're not putting anything new into it. There are websites now that are mobile friendly, that will be the same thing, that are much brighter, cleaner. But in the end, it's really up to the department to determine the content that's on there.
So identify what information they want to put on that
application.
I guess what I meant was, is we did an update, with Project A to something different about 3 years ago. I'm not an IT person, but we did invest in something. I don't know what it was, but it's hard to remember everything.
It's a bargain. We pay $400 a month for it.
Yeah. That was the cost-benefit analysis. I think we evaluated it. What were we going to do? Okay. Well, I know that there are departments that really want more parks, and then there are departments that maybe are fairly static. I don't know how much changes in Veterans Affairs. It's probably one of the most static, but then there are dynamic ones where, like, the clerk's office gets a ton of hits certain times of the year, planning, so...
Well,
something to look into.
Veterans Affairs, there's all kinds of, national places they can go with Veterans Affairs.
Well, those are those links, I think, that send them to a state website, a federal website. But okay. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Finance report and business update. Item number 3. I think the board has appointments coming up at 10:30 today, so just knowing that we have 45 minutes.
I shouldn't take more than 50 minutes or so on this report. So, but one thing to add, I'll support the Project A issue. What we did with Project A was to try to give some consistency across the county, because everybody was doing their own thing. Prior to Project A, everybody was doing their own thing. Some had websites, some didn't. Some were looking good, some were looking pretty bad. So Project A was to try to give some central website format consistency across all the departments. So that was the idea. And it was a bargain. But I'll support.
Before you go on, it might be worth bringing in Director Schmelzer as part of the economic development side of things to see if that's a partnership. That if we're looking at Josephine County as economic development, what do we want our website to look like?
I think it's there. I think
instead of creating a separate website for economic development, will ours meet that need or something?
Yeah.
So,
or how to bring it up to speed to where it does, because I think that, the lag in the county moving along has made parks want to go out and get their own website and planning, and it's like
we don't need any websites.
No.
We should have ours meet the needs.
I know the sheriff has his own website. He inherited that.
Does he still? I'm not sure.
I don't know. The sheriff's department office used to have.
They used to have one. They lost the rights to it, and someone picked it up.
Oh, okay.
And then when you clicked on Josephine County, it was not a good website you wanted to go to.
Mark Sully from Space came up.
No, but it is something that there are improvements to our website. Even if the sheriff can have help with, you have to have a certain product called Silverlight to even view the inmates in custody. And there may be upgrades in what's available. Technology is constantly improving. But if we think holistically, the fact that we have departments wanting to get their own because they don't like being a part of the whole, that's not efficient.
Yeah, but it might be time to invest in a
and
in
economic
upgrade,
development.
Even within Project A.
Investment, this could encompass all of us.
The other thing to think about, and then we can move on, we'll just schedule this for a general discussion with those players sometime really soon, is you're never going to make everybody happy with these kinds of technologies. We can have everybody walking out of the room saying, oh, I like that. That'll work great.
They're all
you implement it, and the next day, Fairgrounds wants their own stuff.
Yeah,
just because this doesn't work for them, or they don't, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so everything I'm going to talk about today is just budget-oriented. The budget, I put an advertisement in Tuesday's newspaper advertising the budget meeting, which is next Tuesday, the May 2nd. So that will be our first budget meeting. The ad went in the Courier on Tuesday. The ad, or the notice, was put online on our website on the front page Friday of last week. So that met all the minimum requirements for publishing and notice of the first budget meeting. So I also wanted to mention that I received an email from Steve Welch that said that he will be out of the country beginning May 16. So there's a good chance, depending on what the budget committee decides as far as that final meeting, whether Mr. Welch will be at the final meeting or not, or the third meeting, or however many meetings the budget committee decides after that.
He said May.
He's leaving May 16 through June 3rd.
Oh.
So we have tentatively scheduled a budget meeting for May 2nd and May 9th.
I will not be here the 9th.
Yes, right, Commissioner will not be here the 9th. And then
I think what's most important is that we have a full contingent for approving the budget from the budget committee. So I would like to say, I thought we had discussed June 6th.
Right, that would be the next Tuesday after Mr. Welch returns.
I have tentatively out on my schedule.
And that would still meet our time frame requirements, because once the budget is approved, I have to publish it in the newspaper and then have a public hearing after that. So, and then we have to get the budget approved, or adopted, I should say, prior to June 30.
That's no problem.
So that should work with the June 6th meeting. That should work.
We're all here, I think. I think we're all here on June 6th. I think we might have already checked that out, and Mr. Welch will be back. So
yes.
If you miss a budget committee meeting or something, that's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What is if there isn't an opportunity for everybody to come back, coalesce, and get 100% participation and the recommendation to the board. So I think maybe we can make that adjustment to at the first meeting.
Right.
You've already sent it out. We'll
right.
advocate for that there. And then we do want to make sure that Commissioner Morgan is available for points of the budget that are her liaisonship, ideally. I wouldn't want forestry discussed if I wasn't in the room or something like that. So if we're discussing, we're not paying for the DA next year, so I'm just kidding.
And just to point you real carefully, you don't tell everybody that Steve Welch is out of the country.
He's just unavailable.
Sorry.
I think they were adopting everything.
I'm sorry, I didn't think
everybody's
about that.
Just unavailable.
And somebody says, well, why does Steve Welch? Well, he's going to be out of the country.
Well, unfortunately, I just did, so I don't.
Well, let's not belabor the point too much. It's
I
just,
didn't
yeah,
think
yeah,
about
I mean,
that right away.
Probably won't go very far, but just going forward.
Yeah.
Good point. Didn't think of that.
Okay, so budget stuff.
Yes, so those dates, and even the second meeting with Commissioner Morgan being gone, it's really up to the budget committee on May 2nd to set the next meeting date. So I tentatively said May 9. It could be May 11 or whatever date the budget committee decides. Yeah. And then the final piece I wanted to say is that the budget book, we're should have it available by the end of the day today. So in the advertisement, I said the budget book would be available May 1st, the budget meeting on May 2nd. We should, and the plan is to try to get the budget book finalized today and have it available today to the budget committee and to the public also.
And online?
And online.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
I think in the future when you advertise, you could say no later than that date, and that would probably be helpful for you, for us. Making it available sooner would be fine, but it will be available no later than...
Yeah, no later than rather than by.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I said by.
I mean, you know, we've had public comment on that very subject
yeah,
for the
correct.
Last two or three meetings. So if I think, you know, we're not 7 days in advance, but we're pretty close.
Well, and I don't want to belabor that point, but people who make up rules and then chide us for not meeting their rules, their made-up rules, you know, is completely it's
well,
a fabrication.
It starts out as a suggestion, as a good idea, and then somewhere along the line it changes to
an expectation.
You were supposed to do that 7 days in advance.
Yeah, and that has never been the case.
Setting up expectations in the minds of the people that there's something out there not right by not doing it sooner. I think it's a false expectation that people think that you only have the budget available one day prior to the first meeting is a bad thing or we're hiding something. Whereas this budget is probably not going to be that much different than last year's budget, and that's the point I made the other day. Or you've still got 45 days, maybe even more, before the board actually approves it.
So right.
But one of the things I think that escalated this thing is Nancy Pelosi's deal on health care. And she said, we have to approve it so we know we can read what's in it.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah,
that just kept everything up to where everybody's thinking if you're not there ahead of time.
But that is a... I resent that public statement yesterday accusing us to be anything near Nancy Pelosi's where you actually had to vote on it before you saw it.
And it's
right.
a law. The budget means nothing, frankly. I mean, it's important. It's a guide for the year. But there isn't any budget that we approved last year that's 100% of what was approved. I'm sure that there's some things that were materials and services, an employee retired sooner or something like that.
It's not cast in stone.
No.
It's a guideline.
Yeah.
Right, and budgets are estimates. And if you think about it, you're 18 months, like back in March, April of 16, we were guessing where we're going to be on June 30th. I don't think anybody today can guess where we're going to be on June 30th.
We wouldn't be here. We'd be in Las Vegas.
Yeah. So I think the budget law is very clear that we can disperse or make the budget available at any time, including the first meeting, which I think you folks have had experience of getting or receiving the budget at the first budget meeting.
At the city.
At we get it before.
And that
has... up to a month before a full notebook, two notebooks,
mm-hmm.
a capital and a...
The proposed budget.
But that's not unusual. There are many, many jurisdictions that deliver the budget on their first budget meeting. And that's specifically stated in budget law that that's appropriate.
I think it's actually
acceptable.
A very good example of how we used to probably present it a little bit earlier. And we had a visitor from Curry County on Monday and a visitor from Klamath County on yesterday. And they're both under, it was a wake-up call, how many HR people we have, and how many finance people we have, relative, how many payroll people we have. We have one. The number of people in each of these programs, they don't have somebody outside of Public Works and the Sheriff's Office who's dedicated to the financial elements preparing their budgets. They're doing that while Sarah is preparing for the park season, so that her budget doesn't get in a timely fashion that affords finance an opportunity to have that budget out a month in advance. It's a one-man shop over there from a financial standpoint, Sarah. And as long as we're complying with that, I think we need to use it as an example to the public about how tight we are. There isn't somebody just doing this in each of these programs.
And I say, and I mentioned it yesterday, was as we see commissioners coming here, I think that's kind of a spin-off from Commissioner Morgan and I, we have a lot of people at County College that's interested in Josephine County.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks.
Yeah.
Really interested.
We had a commissioner stop by this week from another county.
That's what I just got done saying.
Oh, yeah. It's just
two counties.
Yeah, they're coming at. We want to see how this is done.
Yeah,
man, it's exciting.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's true. The other aspect you have to think on budgets is that once that budget book is given to the budget committee, it becomes a public document and must be made available to the public. And also, once that budget book is delivered, you cannot have deliberations on the budget except at the published budget committee meeting. So it really, when you talk about the commissioners developing the budget and discussing with their liaison departments and discussing among yourselves what you want to see, all that stops when we get the budget book out. And so I think there's a it's appropriate to not get the budget book out too far ahead of the first budget meeting.
Well, it's a challenge from my perspective.
Yeah.
Forestry has issues. Community development has things that I'm looking at making recommendations and changes, and so does parks. There are things that are dynamic about those budgets being proposed for next year. What we're actually having is likely to change in those three departments that I'm aware of. So,
and that's okay. That's the whole point of the budget committee and the budget meetings, and you know, getting it approved by the committee, and then the board has a chance to adopt it. So I should have the book today.
Is that all?
And that's what I.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting.
You have a review of public works that you're spearheading.
Yes.
And when is that going to be?
Yeah, there's several projects I'm working on right now. So public works, I should have a final report, or at least the draft final. It's going to be May, but it'll be, I think, about mid-May, so the 10th
to
the
15th. Is there going to be a report to the board?
Yes, correct. Okay. Yes, Mr. Toller, the director of the company, will present.
Have you reviewed the draft?
I've got the draft. I haven't had a chance to review it yet.
I think we should try to have that. When are our comments due on that? I got a draft as well. I don't know if you want one.
I would like
The reason I asked for a draft is that this was something that I thought of doing 2 years ago, so it's been a little bit in the queue and back when I was the liaison to this. So I'm not trying to micromanage, but there were specific things that I was looking for that they would address, and I wanted to make sure that they did that. It's not that much different than the CWPP, and that contractor doing the things that they were asked to do,
right?
So,
well, I think we've all had experience in consultants and audits and whatnot, and I think on 75% of them, they come up short because you fail to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go through the draft and we see something that's missing, now it's time they can address that.
That's what I would say. The sooner the better as far as any comment is concerned or any particular point that you were wanting to. So that's public works working on Hugo Hills. We're down to four people are living at the Hugo Hills. That are 16-unit complex, and they've moved them all out except for the final four. Four is the number of required units that we have to have for low income in order to meet the bond requirements. But as soon as Oregon Housing certifies Ramsey, then those four can also be transitioned to some other location, and Hugo Hills will be empty and will be available for us. I've worked with Mike Watson to see if we can't find a renter for that. We were looking at UCAM. They were looking for some veterans housing, so I think that's still in play.
I'm going to try to schedule a meeting with Mike and you and Ryan and the board next week on our property vision and addressing Hugo Hills. I don't know that we have clear direction from the board about what we want.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be good veterans housing personally.
I don't either.
There's no public transportation.
Let's talk about it when we have that meeting.
And that's a perfect thing. If maybe trying to sell it is the best thing. Ramsey and CRC, the Crisis Resolution Center, are also on the table. So let's talk about those, all those at that point.
Just to interject something, I think that veterans housing should be closer to town. I was looking at Asante's Southern Oregon Hospital Complex, and it's right in town. Type of a thing, they have a cafeteria.
On public access might be really important. Is there anything else for finance? Mr. Morgan? I had a couple things. There's the parks revenue from the parks and forestry revenue from the recent property sale.
Yes.
We need to address policies on that and how that's being used and where it's housed and the finances and appropriating the 10% to property management. That's my direction. There's no board direction or an order assigning 10%. I just thought about that the other day. I don't think that the board has ever weighed in on that. That was my direction under property management.
Yeah.
That we can't capture
and
that.
And historically, that's what we've done. I mean,
I just want to make sure that's okay with
you. Want to solidify that?
I do. And so just having that discussion, it might be part of the property deal. There was another issue that I'd like to. I think it's relevant because of our current administration probably not relaxing federal law around cannabis revenues not being protected under the FDIC. And so I'd like to lean into that discussion again, having Arthur and Eve. Eve would be the curator, likely as the treasurer, of those funds if the county were to establish its own form of a credit union for cannabis. So that opportunity for them to engage in some sort of a banking system is probably not going to be relaxed under federal regulation in this administration. So we could provide perhaps an interim solution. We had addressed this earlier with the Cave Junction County facility, that building. And so I don't know that that's the facility, but I think we could readdress that with this board, which we haven't done yet. So let's schedule that for an opportunity next week for a discussion. And we might want to put together a small committee of credit union board members, experts in that financial field to advise us on how you could structure it. I think legal has one perspective, and it was an interesting take on it. It was an interesting take on it, but it led to nowhere. I'd like us to lead it to somewhere, or if the board is receptive to that, or just sunset it. Definitely.
My only concern would be if it would put us in jeopardy of any of our financial dealings with the federal government.
We'll have to look into that. So
going back to property sales.
Yeah.
When Michael and I talked about it one time, and he mentioned that, so we'll take 3344 for instance, Capdura Road, it did not sell. And I believe he told me that the next time it comes up, the minimum bid was, say, $65,000. I can't do that.
Don't say what you're thinking. You think you're going to say. But I think we want to talk about that, and that can be discussed in executive session.
Executive session.
Yeah.
Then I would like to open that up.
We'll get that on the calendar for next week, because I think it's timely. We don't wait until August to start planning for the September. We're planning now for the September sale. That's when we're going to have it. So we'll get that in the queue. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is board business, review of board's weekly calendar. If there's nothing else under other specific, actually I do. We're working on a press release. Commissioner Morgan is spearheading that as liaison to the DEA. I made a couple of notes here. Have you seen a copy of that? And
I have a copy, but I haven't reviewed it. I got it late yesterday.
There are a couple of points that I think that's a really good, really good.
Just to give you a heads up, I literally took our letter and emailed it to Laura Clellan with AOC, and this is what she returned.
Okay, great.
So
that's fine.
I'm not personally linked to it. She said edit as we want.
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple of notes that I've made here that I think I could hand off to you that we could include. The board greatly values the services provided by the DA, something to that effect. I don't want people thinking like we're cutting it loose because we don't value it. It's a policy position, not a criticism of the office. The DA, although appointed, is doing a good job. I think we could say that. State pays for the courts, et cetera, making that connection to the other points of the legal system that the state does fund. This is that third leg of the stool or what have you. That's why we're advocating for it. The state used to pay for this service is an important point. And the board's priority for law enforcement are the things in our core competency. What we're responsible for is the jail, rural patrols, the juvenile detention, and stuff. So those are just a couple of points that I thought might be important to include. Very short phraseology, obviously one pager, but those are arguments of why we're doing this, to my opinion. If you guys, I guess we could submit those to you, Commissioner Morgan, and I'm not so sure that today would be such a bad day. You know, we sent the letter off yesterday, but probably today or tomorrow, so that if the letter makes the paper, that it's combined with our statement, that we don't want one going before the other or vice versa. When the press release goes out, a copy of the letter is also something that needs to be included in my recommendation. Sound good?
Yeah, so you scribbled this out, but moved up to here. Let's see, funding of the DA as to prevent, just that last line to finish.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, that concept. But otherwise, I didn't think that the other portions of that.
And so you have a draft of this?
I have the draft. I don't have this.
Okay.
So if I get a copy of this, what's the suggestion?
Then you're not making the same suggestion.
Then I'm, yeah.
Okay, we'll have support
hope you
staff
can read my
copies and then give me back
great.
Any
hope you can read my
scribble. Yes.
Yeah. Wendy, if there's no other matters for the board under item number 4, great.
Well, first up, HR came to me and they have this boy who's 23 and he wants to volunteer 10 hours a week.
That's discrimination.
Gentlemen, I don't know if that's something you guys are interested in. He wants to know every department. I mean, if he came in, I can probably teach him the mail. He could do the mail, but that's not learning really government stuff.
Well, he'll get it almost by osmosis of being in the office. We've never had an intern before. What's the time frame? When does he want to start?
Now. Yeah, he's been calling all week.
Okay. You can enter yours, and I'd like to start it off in this office, and we can say whether or not it's a good fit.
Okay.
Or not. I don't want to subject the other departments to something of making that decision because it could be construed politically. I don't know. I just want to start it out here. It's
okay.
Not a hire. It's a volunteer.
Right.
An intern. I've always been supportive of this. If the board doesn't object.
Where does he come from? What's his age, demographics, and is he going to Rural Community College?
Yeah, ask age demographics.
He's been on a volunteer form. We
yeah,
actually
he's
asked
23.
Volunteers to
he's
fill
currently
out
not
age.
Working. Okay. He wants to get into the government entity, and so like he just wants to start volunteering.
So he doesn't have a specific role in the county he wants to volunteer?
No.
Well, until he does have a specific, starting here, you know, is a great place to start, so... that sounds good.
Can you keep him busy for that time frame?
Yeah. I don't know if you wanted a personal assistant. Like, maybe he can help you. I don't know. Like, I kind of figure he'd be more of an errand boy. But
tell me something.
I'll have to
might help
you. I've had interns in other positions I've had, and they're all different. I mean, some are, the mail will be a challenge. And others, you can turn him free on, you know, updating our contact list and making sure we can all come up with ideas of things that they can do that are not getting done right now and would be great. So I'm sure there's things in finances. As his skill level is being evaluated, we can roll him out into doing other things.
Okay. So I'll have him start maybe like 1 to 3 every day or something. We'll see how it works out.
Yep.
Okay. You want to redo your calendars? Or do you want to talk about this?
I don't.
Okay.
No. I just need you. I asked, so I'm, as the liaison to facilities, I've been the person who's kind of overseen the parking area. So an ongoing issue, and I've asked when they repainted, restriped, that there is a turn that far, the parking in the middle, it's all delineated by lines. There's a no parking section at the end because larger vehicles cannot make that turn coming around. I continually see people parking there, even though it says no parking right underneath it. I don't care if it's a police car or if it's one of our cars. That is a no parking area.
And that's so,
yeah. I just asked her. I don't want the ramifications. It's the board's office that's saying no parking in this section. Violators will be towed.
I think that happens out there too. Like, it'd be nice just you know. Like
yep. We need to be able to not have to call city police to cite a city vehicle I'd just like to be able to put that on there and not have my business card.
What's
there.
Their time frame for moving out? That'll screw
it's
up.
Like 2 years.
2 years. Wow.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's DA's people. It could be even sheriffs. I don't care if Dave Daniel parks there. That's a no parking spot. And we are, it's county property. We're the curators for that. And so, anyway, I just thought something about warning.
Okay.
Your next infraction, you will be towed. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So, something like that. Yeah, I've seen emergency situations where they've had to back up, come around, and, you know, you're trying to do a big rig, it's tight, and then to go out and make that turn, it's just not. Or Wally Hicks, he can't get out if that person is there and he's pulled in and he has to back out, he can't get out. So anyway, Monday. This is just
May
1st, yeah. Have you done a manager's meeting yet?
I have not.
Okay.
It's May, I get my first one.
Yeah. It probably had something to do with schedules as well, but yeah, it's not, I find them fairly not very effective, but I think other commissioners may have. So what was your experience, Commissioner?
I thought it was okay. Yeah. I didn't stay very long, but I think it's a good opportunity for all the managers to get in one room and kind of let their hair down, I think.
Yeah.
I don't get to let my hair down. But
he did just the same as you. Did a little spiel, asked for questions. No one had any questions, and then he left.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's more for the benefit of the managers to get together than for...
It is, but I think they regard us as commissioners,
exactly.
If not county administrators in that meeting. And he's not an administrator. He is the finance administrator. HR is the administrator. But from if I were a county administrator, that's the manager's opportunity to dialogue with the board about challenges they're having. And I don't know how to, if it's the carrot or the stick, for saying, there are things you guys are thinking about, policies you're discussing, and you're not engaging with this board in that respect. And that bothers me. You're not doing your job. I'm not doing my job. What can I do to have that dialogue and discussion about ways this board could be doing a better job to help them do their job?
Well, maybe just a memo to all of it, you know, before the manager's meeting as to what you're expecting from them.
I've been telling them this for 6 years.
Well, it hasn't worked, has it?
It has not. So I don't know what to do. It's probably not the arena. I need to do it individually. If I went to their offices, I bet they'd all feel, and they do, every time I go there, they got a list of stuff that they would like to see done better. It's also careful what you ask for. You know, they want to see a better, more timely, legal knows this, a more timely response on legal requests. I don't know how to facilitate that, so careful what you ask for. They'll say, well, do that for us, and then they'll give you something else. Okay, I'm working on that one. Monday, joint city-county workshop. I'm here. That tentative ad is not.
Okay.
I'm just having an appointment. But,
I'll be there for that.
Yeah. We're at the city chambers. Something we don't ever get talked to or asked about developing that agenda. I haven't seen
it.
I received it.
We receive it, but,
yeah.
You know,
they're
it would be nice
office.
If they, yeah. I'll ask
if we have anything
about that.
Should we be submitting it, a list of our concerns to whoever they have make up the agenda?
Yeah.
To Karen, I'm assuming Karen.
I would imagine. Do we have anything?
Well, maybe that's if we have something that's maybe a discussion on what to do in between ambassador. Well, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find out what their thoughts are on it. What can we do? Hey, can we move it over between ambassador and your building? You're doing a great job, that place. I can read it.
Tuesday's
tough because we have legal counsel and then we have our next budget meeting. So we're trying to see if we can bump that up to 1:00. But
the legal update.
Yeah. And then go into the budget meeting at 4:00. Because usually those last forever.
Yeah. You want it all the way up to 1:00?
Or maybe we're asking for a light agenda. Or
I'll review with Wally on what
okay.
We've got going on.
That's going to be a lot.
I can find out how long my noon is going to go. I mean, it's a luncheon, but it, I don't know how long.
Or even 1:30.
That's why I kind of protected that time afterwards, just because I didn't know how long the meeting was.
Mm-hmm.
Up on Jefferson Public Radio phone interview, do they have a studio that, is that here?
It'll be home.
But I mean, do they have a studio? That's what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I, you know, over the phone to me loses something.
Yeah,
if you're in the studio national. Actually talking to somebody, it's different.
Jefferson Public Radio is out of Ashland.
So to tell you how this happened, Jay Meredith from Securing Our Safety contacted me saying they were asked to speak at Jefferson Radio related to the levy questions, and he suggested a county commissioner. So as you've handled most of the public things,
I'm okay with it.
I forwarded to Terry to throw it on there. He was going to forward an email to Terry with the details of it, but I don't have their contact information directly. It, Jay was the, until they send that email, so that's how that sort of happens.
It's like with Bill Myers, it's a lot easier for me to say.
They have always called in
to
public radio.
Yeah, I've done a dozen of those.
I mean,
it's
well, I don't know if it saves me travel time. I'm okay.
It's in Ashland.
Okay.
So.
And I can do that from my office.
Yeah, they
will
call in at
8:30.
Wednesday?
Yeah, Dan won't be here.
What's that?
Wednesday? We're on Wednesday.
What is that?
It's, you can stir up what you don't know. What are you doing on Wednesday?
It is 12 cops said stop. It is a drug education of the impacts of the targeting of our youth with paraphernalia. You were invited by Nancy Trahern.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
She never did describe what it was. She just said, I bought you a ticket, so you're going.
You
have registered for that. Yeah, we're
registered for that.
Right.
Okay. Thursday. Kind of nice, but I'm going to be in town all week.
No way.
Friday.
Friday's nothing.
What's going on with the canceled general discussion?
Because Jan has a meeting at 2 o'clock that day. It was switched from full board to just a day.
Are you on Thursday or Friday?
Thursday. Do we have a general discussion topic?
On this, the, what, Sheriff Chief Landis and Kubik regarding Jeremiah's. Sheriff is concerned because Chief Landis wanted to know, they did not approve an MOU, which is great. It was in the front page of the paper that the city council is going to hold off. Their concerns are, and I hope I can talk, their concerns are is that their 30 beds is not listed in Sheriff Daniels. Actual dedicated 30 beds is not there. And I, the sheriff and I talked about it on the way out to one of our conferences, and I said, well, truthfully, if they want to guarantee their 30 beds and they pay $1 million, we'll jump it from 185 to 215. However, I said, they just need reasonable, I think it's a reasonable request because the sheriff budgeted 30 beds in his proposal. They just need to be, they
reasonable
need to know that, that, that that's the way it's going to work.
Great.
And that they that there may be times when there's only 22 available, or there might be 20 available, or that there's most of the time we're going to shoot for 30 because that's part of the proposal Sheriff Daniels put in, is he included the 30 beds to the city, and that way they can take away their deal and go from there. There's no guarantee that we can give to Chief Landis that he has 30 beds dedicated to Grand Theft. He's not paying for
them. We were supposed to have this conversation as a group. And this is a result of Aaron being here and saying we're going to talk further. And we asked to get the chief and Landis,
right.
Chief Landis and the sheriff in the room. So why is it just Commissioner DeYoung now?
I don't know that.
The sheriff wanted it in the executive session because he didn't want it recorded. And then Wally said no. So then he's just going to meet with his liaison. So it's not a
we already had a public meeting that started this conversation with Aaron Kubik.
Okay, so
this is with the sheriff.
We'll work it out.
Okay.
Okay. It's okay.
I'm just saying that I understand.
Let's go on to Monday.
Are you guys both going? Are you traveling?
I am.
Okay.
I'm scheduled to chair that one. And maybe it will be on time this time. No offense, Susan Roberts, but Tuesday.
we'll probably have to cancel that general discussion at 9.
That's fine.
RBF, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they canceled their May meeting.
I feel like they did too.
I think they did.
Oh, okay.
We'll check on that, because I'm almost positive there's going to be no May meeting. There wasn't anything to discuss.
I'll attend the BRNE. Can you think that? Yeah, so that sounds fine. So Reddy's and Grants Pass, we'll keep legal short.
Yeah, because that may or may not be the budget meeting. Okay.
That's the night that you were going to be gone.
Correct. Yeah. I won't be coming back till next morning.
Okay. I'm not so sure why we need the full board on that.
Leah requested that.
Okay. Well, we'll have it.
We're on Thursday?
I think so, yeah. Nothing there. Okay.
Yeah, that's all I have.
There was we're on schedules. Forestry sent out an invitation. I don't know. We haven't discussed, Dave and I, no other full board attends. However, this board is new, so it's totally possible. But that, no, you can't have a quorum because we're probably not going to have it in an ADA accessible place. It's like a planning meeting. You can't go do a hearing out in the field necessarily unless you're ADA and all that stuff. You record it, blah, blah, blah. It's just a field trip of other foresters coming to Josephine County. Coos County has hosted the last two times they've done this. They invite Hood River, Douglas County, Coos County, Josephine. Those are the main counties in the forestry programs. So it's just going to likely be me if I'm available. If not, one of you two can do that and stuff. And as the forestry program graduates to somebody else, you guys can do that. But we have never hosted it in recent memory, so we're going to host that here. Pick that one up. Williams
Is it something, I mean...
It's just an opportunity.
If it's a tour, can we not all go?
Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a quorum of the board, it's a meeting, and there's, especially on county business like that, and it has to be open, accessible, and advertised to the public. So we just have not done one of those. Anytime the board is together, it's usually in a public facility, like the county building, a school, something like that.
So is it a planning meeting or is it a tour, though? Because announcing a tour...
If it was a tour of a pending land use decision, a quorum of the board cannot be there all at the same time.
True.
You'd be really...
So it's just not a tour of forestry in general?
It's a tour of our forestry, yeah, in general.
Okay.
There'll likely be lunch.
You'd have to be really, really careful if you had a quorum.
We just don't do it.
So, you know,
we could probably work it out. We just don't.
Yeah.
We just don't do it.
I'm thinking also,
it's really challenging.
Commissioner Morgan, on passing the baton, you know, somebody's going to be going to be a new kid on the block for a while, and you've been there a long time, so you know what to talk about.
There's nothing. This is an ad hoc. It's not a forest advisory committee meeting.
Okay.
And that would be, you know, policy discussions, public space. We usually hold those at Public Works or in 157, and the quorum of the board would be perfectly fine. It's just I'm not going to go to the public health if they have some sort of a employee appreciation day or something like that. I'm not going to go to that. And there's not a quorum of the board. There probably could be because it's at one of our parks, one of our annual park things.
I was just interpreting the email that this is an opportunity to get a tour of our forest lands, which neither Dan or I have had the opportunity to do.
You always do.
The
street is available today to go do
out.
That. But it's
okay.
Not going to be as a quorum.
Yeah.
That might be a good option. I think we need to do that.
Probably.
Williams Vegetation Meeting. We... I made the decision last week. It was scheduled for a general discussion, and I have had that discussion with the Williams Group several times. But maybe if there was, did a liaison meeting and the director of Public Works happen, and how did that go?
Well,
are you at liberty to talk about it?
We're going to
still working on it.
I've got a two or three road trips tomorrow. I'm going to be out in the Cape Junction.
Yeah,
and then. Rob and I talked also about the spraying and road thing out there in Williams, so I'm going to go out and do another deal there. We're going to settle that once and for all. We've got two issues out that direction. One's on North Applegate Road,
okay,
with a subdivision, and the other one's a farther on out with Road Brand. And we're going to put their feet to the fire. So you want to take this sign on the dotted line?
Yeah.
But
I think we've had a historic agreement like that.
It's been done over and over and over again, but I think we need to solidify that and say this is the end. We're not going to come back here every time you have a shift of gears in the commissioner's office and try to sway another commissioner to go your way, because that's basically what they're doing. They're taking either me, they're taking me because I knew, now I'm a fresh set of ears, and they're going to start all over. They're going to hit rewind and then start it all over again with stocking the room full of little kids and all the stuff that's happened in the past. They're going to try to do that too. Pull me their way, and we need consistency there. That I'm going to do the same thing that past commissioners have done, and that's the end of it.
It's kind of like managing a forestry and getting that trust and our forest policy codified in ordinance. You can't subscribe to one style of maintenance on a road one year and then change it the next year and expect the previous one to work out. It's because you didn't do vegetation mitigation last year. The roadbed is compromised because it's full of water, and that road surface is going to have to be replaced 20 years sooner because you didn't do that.
Right.
And so I think if it's in
the right of way, I think it should be Public Works to do whatever they have to do to protect the road, because the road is the investment from the taxpayer.
Exactly.
Period. They didn't invest in the road, the taxpayer did.
Not only local taxpayers, state taxpayers, because
federal,
of state
gas
tax.
Gas tax.
Anyway, thank you.
And their Prius doesn't apply.
Okay.
I still pay for gas.
Anything else?
Go ahead.
We're working. In fact, I've got to get it finalized this morning and add for the levy in the paper.
Okay.
And I've been working with Jim Dipper on that. There was an ad last night in a sneak preview. We can tell you that for the levy.
Excellent.
They did, it says paid for by Dan D. Young, and it's, as we talked about yesterday, D. period Young. Like, it's wrong again, but I guess that's, you know, I don't know. If anybody looked that up with Orstar, there is no Dan D. Young listed in Orstar. So I'm going to call Kurt Hayden and remind him of that, so in case he feels any questions, it's his fault.
I have anything, Commissioner Morgan?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
I have a request from Parks, and I know that facilities is needed this as well. I'd like to work on an order that the board could sign if you endorse the idea of instructing planning or public works to not charge fees to developing projects initiated by the county. What I'm thinking of is White Horse Park is going to incur a lot of permit fees as developing White Horse or some other areas, and Sarah finds it challenging, and I agree that why am I having to pay the county to do a fee for a county function? You know, it's kind of exchanging dollars for things.
From the private sector?
No, just intergovernmental fees.
If her department goes out there and puts in the sprinkler system or something. If Parks goes out there, uses Parks as backhoe, if you put out that to a private contractor to say, okay, pave all of this, that private contractor needs to pay a permit fee. Is that okay with her? Or is it to say, no, that private contractor is going to waive that because it's paying it to the...
Planning department's going to waive that fee because you're doing a project on county property. I think it's something we should discuss because you make a good point.
City charges themselves, that's... the controversy that we experienced over there, and
we think it's a valid conversation. Even when the board files something in the clerk's office, sometimes we get.
I think I checked with legal on that. I think I would check with legal on that. because
we can definitely do it.
Okay.
It's just a matter of board policy. And if the board chooses not to, I can definitely tell Sarah.
I have no problem.
You just have to roll in that road access fee, $125, and you're going to just pay that to Public Works because they're going to have to send a guy out there, just like anybody else. So it would be, we can go either way because it's a subsidy that we would provide.
Well, should she not pay internal service fund because, you know.
Yeah, you can take it to certain things. Anything. It's just something we should discuss.
But for them to go in there and say, okay, I'm going to have to pay a $2,800 development fee, you know, for paving. If it gets to be like that, you know, that's, it's got to be, it has to, the fee has to fit the function.
Yeah. Well, if it, that's the requirement. Fee has got to reflect the cost of service. That's a requirement of all of our fees anyway. So if it is, if we are abiding by that, which we are,
sometimes it doesn't.
Everybody has to pay.
A mechanical permit to put in a heat pump out or jump off Shoal Creek Road is $18. You are not going to tell me that a public employee is going to drive out to jump off Shoal Creek for $18. Not even close.
No, it can be less, but it can't be more than the cost of service. You couldn't charge $1,800 if it really
cost
the guy $55 to drive out there and back and do an inspection. So. Okay, I think that's pretty much all I had. We're at 10:30.
I had one more thing.
Of course you have. So.
I'll be very quick. CJ Council, I still have not heard back about us getting on schedule with them. We have canceled
Monday's meeting.
Monday's town hall, which I don't want to put the town or Illinois Valley at a disadvantage of not getting access to us as a board. So I want to kind of put it in your minds. Maybe we can talk about it this afternoon further. That of kind of what we would like to do to be intentional to be. You've been out there a lot, I know, but I just want to put it in your seat in your minds to be thinking about for this afternoon, and we can maybe talk about what we want to do.
One of the things that I was at Rogue Valley Council of Governments yesterday, one of the people, he says, I don't get anybody at our council meetings, and I don't get anybody at our board meetings, at Board of County Commissioner meetings, so we've moved that. We've said, you know, once a month we're going somewhere else. We're going to go have a Board of County Commissioners meeting, a scheduled meeting in Cape Junction.
Mm-hmm.
Just all three of us go out there and we have an actual weekly business session in Cape Junction. And he says it's extremely popular.
I'm not going to be here this afternoon for the general discussion. I need to go over to, I'm meeting with the Jackson County Commissioners. They have, they've tendered their resignation. They're no longer members of the Association of Oregon Counties. I think you guys probably saw that.
No,
really?
Okay. They have withdrawn last week, effective the end of this legegislative session, so June 7th or something. They will no
What's
longer
their reason?
I'll forward you on. It's a public document, and they put out a release of why they have not. And so the association has asked me to go figure out why. Like, I thought their letter was pretty clear, but I think there are opportunities for us in Southern Oregon and rural parts of the state to try to take this as an opportunity to say, okay, so how can we meet your needs, Jackson County, Josephine County, and others, of establishing maybe a Rural County Caucus Association?
And I've kind of been doing some math on that.
Yeah.
And Jackson County need not apply. Same thing with Deschutes, because their population versus their land mass.
Sure.
Puts them in a factor that they're actually urban rather than rural.
So when I thought about this from 2 years ago, and the thought for me was the Coastal Caucus is really effective. Mm-hmm. They don't restrict anybody. Jackson County has rural issues just the same way as we do. And I don't know that AOC is addressing those.
But everybody has rural issues.
I don't mind if people are there on their rural issue deal, because at the same time, they bring something to the table that some of these rural counties just don't have, you know.
I just look at the way that the voting map by precinct.
Yeah.
And you will find globs of blue right along Interstate 5.
Yeah.
And the big glob of blue is right over here. Then there's another glob at Lane County. Then there's another glob as you go north, and then Deschutes County. We are one.
These 10 city precincts are, I'd say they're a blue blob as well.
By precinct.
By precinct? We can check that out.
Yeah, we'll check that out. But What I'm looking at is that right now, if I've got to run the actual square miles and stuff,
yeah.
I'm figuring the Rural County Caucus would represent probably 80 to 85% of the land mass in Oregon, and we're not being heard at all
yeah.
in any place.
Yeah.
Even in Shiloh Inn. There's a Shiloh Inn right up here on North 6th Street, but you open up Shiloh Inn Square, where else can you stay at a Shiloh Inn? Grant Pass is not on there. We're not even listed in their places to stay. And it's like that over and over and over again. Joe St. Jack, the southern end state is completely off anybody's radar. And so that's what I, and same thing, and when they get the same frustration over in Harney, Lake County, all of them have the same frustration. You yell and scream at a meeting and you're not even heard. You're not even in the room.
Okay.
So the extremely strong in this class of 2017 of County College is extremely rural. We have more rural representation than we have from, we have a guy from Clackamas and whatnot, but most
are
of
you
them
up
are
at
from
the
woods. No, I'm not up at 10:30.
You are, Dan? I'm at 11:30.
We changed the schedule around.
Who's now?
It's Dan.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we can continue this. I'm not
going to
be here this afternoon. Do you guys still want to meet? Is there a subject matter? I think that we've got a direction. I want to meet with the city at their meeting like we do with Grants Pass. That hasn't changed for me. I wouldn't mind doing, because that doesn't satisfy our interaction with the public. I wouldn't mind doing something like what Commissioner DeYoung is talking about.
Moving a meeting out there every
morning. Yeah, quarterly. But it's different than what we would do with the city. We already do that here. We don't do that there.
Yeah.
So let's do that. So
okay.
He said it's really opened up the channel.
No, I agree. I think that's good. Yeah, you're there for doing business.
They're not going to come in here and go to a meeting.
10:36, we're adjourned.